as we welcome on Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World. Matt, my initial reaction to seeing this news of Jack Whitman, a guy who I'd never heard of, was that this has to mean that Svi is going to keep his name in the draft. Do you agree?
First of all, you've never heard of Jack Whitman? Where you been?
William and Mary hasn't been on my radar, man.
You haven't been DVRing the William and Mary game?
No, unfortunately not.
All right. Well, I imagine you'll see plenty of them here in the next year or so. But no, I disagree. I saw you tweeted that. I've seen 1,000 other people tweet that about just jumping to that conclusion that you know, this is somehow connected to Svi. And I'm not surprised. I mean, it makes perfect sense that you start adding things up and numbers and whatnot. It does make sense. But I don't think, and I haven't talked to anybody. I haven't talked to Coach Self or anybody about this yet. So I don't know anything. I'm just going off what I kind of feel and think on my own, but I don't think that it's a certainty by any means that Svi is now going to stay in the draft. Number one, you know, I talked to Coach last week or something somewhere in there. I think it was last week about Svi, and there was really no indication there that he had any kind of lean at all. You know, it was all about the combine. It was all about, okay, what he wants to do is get that invite to the combine and then go do the combine, go through the workouts, talk to the GM, talk to those guys, and then he'll have all the information he needs to make, you know, a complete decision. So nothing's changed. The combine doesn't start until May 9th, you know, next week,
right,
middle of next week. So I don't think, I mean, unless Svi just had a, you know, a dream and woke up and decided, you know, hey, no matter what happens, I've got to go to the NBA, even if I'm a second-round pick, which even that's not guaranteed at this point, you know. So I don't think enough has changed between then and when he got the invite and obviously now to conclude that means he's decided one way or the other. It certainly could be what happens, and from KU's perspective, it would make it easier because there's your scholarship, and that's real easy. But, you know, again, without talking to Coach Self, and he's not able to comment on this deal until, or at least officially and publicly and on the record, you know, until all the paperwork signed and that kind of stuff. So, you know, until we know exactly what's going on with this situation from KU's perspective, who knows? I mean, this kid could be on scholarship. He could not. He could be on an academic scholarship. He could not. He could be, you know, he's a graduate transfer, and if I'm not mistaken, and maybe the rules are different or maybe they've changed, but if I'm not mistaken, I think you only have to be enrolled in 6 hours to be in graduate school and play. At least that's what I remember with some of those football guys that sort of did this thing. So 6 hours, I mean, it's out-of-state tuition, but that's not an unreal amount of money to be able to afford. So maybe he does pay his own way in some way, and it's sort of a walk-on too, you know. So I don't know. There's just so much still up in the air as far as not knowing exactly what's going to happen. And frankly, I mean, you've still got a guy like Trevon Duvall out there that if he decides tomorrow that he wants to play for Kansas, they're going to have to figure it out a little bit more, even with that involved. So I don't think so. I mean, I keep hearing that it's not happening. He's not coming to KU. But, you know, things change quickly. And if he decided, hey, I want to go to KU, I decided that's the place for me, you know, then they got to figure it out even more. So it's kind of a crazy deal right now outside of just Transfer U. I know you've been pumping that as part of your show today, Transfer U.
Right.
You know, so outside of just that theme, it's really crazy just within the whole numbers game that they're dealing with right now.
You know, and you're right. We don't know enough about this situation to make, you know, very, very bold claims about it. But just from a logical standpoint, the timing doesn't make sense on several levels. It wouldn't make sense for Svi personally if you're to assume that he's just making this decision now, like getting invited to the combine was the only decision the only thing he needed to hear to make his final decision. But it doesn't make sense, but it's the one scenario that makes the most sense to me. Like, he got invited to the combine and said, you know what, coach, I'm going to bet on myself. I feel really good about it before even getting those evaluations. 3 days later, this kid's committing to Kansas. Like, that's the one scenario that makes the most sense, albeit it still doesn't make a ton of logical sense.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you're just stacking things up, from a most likely. I mean, I guess that's why that would be sort of a conclusion people make. I get that. I definitely get that. But, you know, the other thing that I saw people going crazy about after Svi got that invite was, oh, he's gone. He got invited to the combine. He's definitely gone. No, that's not the case at all. You know, I mean, I think everybody from Coach Self to Svi himself expected that he would get an invite to the combine. So that wasn't like a revelation. That wasn't like huge news. And now that it's happened, oh my gosh, that means he's staying in for sure. I mean, you know, the thing you have to remember is that Svi is a smart dude. And, you know, as much as these guys say they don't read stuff or pretend they don't look at, you know, their names on the internet or whatever, I guarantee most of them do. And I guarantee that he's at least aware, not only from pre-draft advisory committee and stuff like that, that Self told me that they've done and gone through and got some information from there, but also just from the mock drafts and all those things that are out there. I mean, he's aware that nobody's got him in the first round right now, you know, and so does that mean he's not in? No, you know, that's a mock draft. Those aren't scientific and they're not the end all be all by any means, but they're usually pretty good. And if, you know, if you're not anywhere on their radar, I mean, the draftexpress.com, which is, in my opinion, by far the best mock draft site out there. I mean, they've got him in next year's draft, you know, not even this summer. So, I think he's a smart enough guy to kind of realize, hey, the odds are that I'm probably not a first-rounder. Now, if he goes to the combine and he kills it and he's got three or four teams telling him, you're exactly what we need. You know, if you're there late first, we need a shooter, we need an athlete, we love your age, we love your poise, we love that you've been coached by KU and by Bill Self for 3 years, you're exactly what we want. You know, then that would change things. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, then, you know, he probably would go. I mean, if you get three teams telling you that, that's where you just said, you know, you just said bet on yourself. Well, that'd be a decent gamble to make. But, you know, right now that hasn't happened, and he hasn't even had a chance to show himself at the combine. So I don't think the combine invite was an indication. I don't think that this is necessarily an indication. I think this whole situation with Whitman, as much as it seems logical to line the two up, I think the whole thing is probably fairly independent of Svi, because I think they were looking for big man help to begin with. You know, they were looking for another body that they could throw in the front court, and this guy's 6'9", 235 pounds, and you know, he's played in some games and he's mature, so you know, there's a guy that can help. Does it mean he's gonna come here and play 20 minutes a game? Probably not. You know, it sounds like you were just talking about that before I jumped on. So, you know, he's probably not the answer. But he might not hurt, and you just never know. I'm just so convinced that you just never know what can happen. I mean, there are ways to figure these things out. You know, let's say Jeremiah Tillman and Trevon Duvall call Bill Self tomorrow and say, you know what, we were hanging out last night and we played some Xbox and we had a great time and we're really good friends now and we both want to come play together and we want to come to Kansas, even with Svi coming back. And Whitman now in the mix. If Duvall and Tillman wanted to come here, they'd still find a way to make it work. You know why?
They couldn't, though, right? Wouldn't that just be so insanely difficult to navigate?
It would. But you know, things crazy things happen, and I don't pretend to know any of them, and I'm glad I don't have to deal with any of them. But you know, you get a situation where all of a sudden a guy might, you know, let's say that happened, and let's say Tillman's coming. And let's say Whitman's here, and let's say you're a guy like Dwight Colby, and you are looking at things going, oh, man, there's now 5-6 other big guys there. I might not play very much. There were only 3 here last year, and I didn't play very much. Maybe I should, you know, hit the books this summer, take 9-10 hours, whatever he needs to graduate, and then all of a sudden he graduates, and he becomes a graduate transfer, and he goes and plays at a, you know, another Division I school somewhere, maybe a, you know, maybe a mid-major or maybe even higher, and he's the third big man on their team, and he gets to play, and he gets to go to grad school, and he gets to enjoy it. You know, there's one way to get his spot back. And, again, I'm not saying I've heard any of this is happening or anything at all like that. I just think these things happen all the time, and these coaches know all the rules, and they have all the answers. And you know, Bill Self's not going to put himself in a bad situation. He's – he's not going to have a situation where on the first day of practice he's got 15 guys and he has to have a team meeting and go, okay, well, I got too many. Anybody want to volunteer to give up their scholarship? You know, I mean, that's not going to happen. He's going to figure it out long before we get to that point. And to be honest, he probably already has figured it out because he's been doing it a very long time. He knows all the rules. He knows all the loopholes. He knows all the little things and different tricks you can try. And sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're necessary. Sometimes they're not. But they are available. And you know, that's why it's such a crazy thing for those of us on the outside to try to figure this out.
Talking to Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal-World here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Let's talk more about the basketball aspect of getting this guy. 6'9", 235 pounds, averaged 10-5 this last year at William & Mary, shot 66% from the field, which puts him amongst the most efficient shooters in the country, at least from the inside of the paint. What does this provide Kansas in the immediate, knowing that he is going to be eligible for next season?
Well, I just love that he's a guy that's played. I love that he's a guy who has some experience. I mean, you know, you look at this group, Billy Preston hasn't played in a college uniform yet. Udoka Azubuike's played 11 games. Mitch Lightfoot played in 26, but he only averaged 3.9 minutes a game. And Colby played in 24, and he only averaged 4 or 5 minutes a game. You know, so their experience, the bodies are there. They've got guys. And Self told me a couple of weeks ago that he believed that those four, if they had to go to battle with them, could have held it down and done what they needed to do to get 80 minutes, you know, each game out of the two big spots or whatever. So, you know, there's some belief that those guys are good enough and there's some confidence that they can all play and that they'll all get better too. So, you know, it's not a question of can they play or can they not play. It's a question of just that experience. And so, you know, this guy hasn't played in the Big 12. He hasn't played at Kansas. You know, he's not a big time name or a guy that's going to change a program, but he is a guy that's played a bunch of college basketball and been through it. And he's, you know, in addition to just being experienced in that way, he's just a mature human being. You know, he's, I don't know how old he is, but 20, 21 probably. You know, that's a big difference than 18, 19 years old. And in Udoka's case, I don't even know if he'll be 18 by the time the season starts. So, you know, that's the biggest thing that I think it offers. And then I'll, obviously just the idea of having another guy to go to battle with in practice and that kind of thing too. I mean, you're going to have some of that with Dedrick Lawson you know, some of those other guys that are sitting out still. But now this is a guy that you can throw in there and he can help push your regular rotation if he's not in it, or he can find a way to carve out a little 7 to 10 minute niche and maybe be okay. So, you know, at this point, I don't think they lose anything. I mean, now if you told me that they got Jack Whitman and that because of it, they didn't end up with Trayvon Duvall, I think that'd be probably a pretty bad trade. But I don't think those are tied together. I don't think there's any connection there. I just think this is a guy that was available and you know, however they're going to make it work, they're going to make it work. And he's got a chance to come in here. And I wouldn't be surprised if he competes for like I said, a little bit of a role right away, because he's going to have an experience advantage on almost everybody else he's competing with.
I know you reached out to William & Mary and you said on Twitter that they didn't comment, or the head coach wouldn't comment on him as a player. Is that more of a technicality? Like he couldn't comment, or he wasn't in, or it just struck me as odd. When you put that out there.
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest, because their sports information guy didn't actually ask him to comment. I asked him twice if he thought it might be a good idea to at least ask the coach, you know, if he would want to talk about it. Because from my perspective, if you're William & Mary and you're the head coach there and you have any way to associate yourself with Kansas, I'd jump on that. I'd get all over that. And I, you know, even if I was upset that the kid was leaving, I would put on a happy face and swallow my pride and say, yeah, you know, he's a great kid. We're really excited about him. We're happy that we prepared him to be ready to play at that level and, you know, spin it so that it makes your program look good. But their sports information guy didn't seem like he wanted to maybe walk down the hall. It was probably like 30 or 40 feet, you know, so that's kind of a long journey. And I understand that. It's Tuesday, you know, it's already it's already been a long week for the guy, I'm sure. So, you know, he didn't want to get out of his chair and go ask the coach. So he kind of spoke for him. So I don't know if the coach would want to comment or not, but, and maybe the guy has the right to do that. Maybe the coach and him have some sort of an understanding that, hey, when these things happen, you just tell him I'm not interested in commenting and we'll all move on with our lives. So he didn't actually, to my knowledge, at least get an opportunity to say yes or no. He just was you know, kind of the program line there was that he would have no further comment other than to confirm that he's leaving the school. So it didn't sound to me like it was, you know, because he didn't want to talk about the kid or anything like that. If anything, it sounded like they're just kind of bummed that they're losing him and it might hurt their team in the future.
Talking to Matt Tate, I'm Nick Schwert, Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Judging by pictures, Whitman has sported a 70s porn stash at least this past season for William & Mary. You're a guy who's always sported some level of facial hair. I've never seen you without any facial hair on your face. Do you support the mustache?
Generally for me, I don't, but I'm all about it on other people.
Why not? Why can't you rock it?
Hey, I've seen you do it, and I just can't do it on that level.
Oh, okay.
I just can't. I mean, the one I can do, which I kind of like, is the, I don't even know what it's called, but it's that upside down U where it's, you know, it's a little bit, it's
the
your
handlebar?
Stash, and then you,
the Fu Manchu?
Yeah, a little bit, right?
The Fu Manchu? Yeah, there you go.
There you go, yeah. I once kind of grew it out for I don't know, the hell of it one year, and I was having a birthday pool party of all things. This wasn't that many years ago. And for some reason that night, you know, we had a few drinks and some dinner, and we were having fun in the pool and all this stuff and all that, and we decided we were going to go out after this and go play some pool or darts or something like that. And it was a place called Willie's. You might remember Willie's.
Yeah, of course.
Sick. Right, yeah, kind of a little dive.
Yeah, I love that place.
And I did too. Yeah, I really did. So before we went, you know, I took a shower and got ready, and I decided, well, I'll just, you know, bust my friends up by walking out of here with all my facial hair gone, but that Fu Manchu look, you know, and so walked out, and it, you know, kind of has that biker look. That's
right.
What I thought. I mean, you know, definitely made me look like I was ready to fight, you know, and I'm never ready to fight ever. So, you know, but I thought that's pretty funny. Like they'll get a kick out of it. And sure enough, you know, we loaded up into the car and everything, and it was like people were just dying. They're like, "What are you trying to do? That looks ridiculous. You should keep it." You know, all that. So. So we walk into Willie's, and the first thing I see is this dude in a sleeveless leather vest and chains off of his jeans, and he's got the exact same mustache, and I would imagine that he started growing it before I was even born. And I wanted to just immediately turn around and leave because I felt like I was going to be insulting the guy just by even attempting to go down his road or to be on his level. And he didn't have anything to say about it. There was no problem. We just played pool or whatever we did and had a good time. But I swear that at one point he gave me a look of like, yeah, keep going and you'll get there, man. I'm proud of you. You know, so that's my full experience with the mustache, and I'd probably dance that dance again. It's all right, but this one, the one that Jack Whitman has, you know, sort of like the one that you had most recently. I'm fully in support of people doing that. It takes a special person to pull that off and to do that, and I think you got to be known for something, and if you're only playing 7 minutes a game, you know, that's an
right.
easy way to make yourself stand out, and you know he'll be known throughout college basketball and throughout the Big 12 if he can stick with it and pull it off.
We need all the support we can get. He is a mustache aficionado for the Lawrence Journal World and KUSports.com. Matt Tate, thank you as always, my friend, and say what's up to your dad for me. All right,
man, I will for sure. Thanks, Nick. Take care.